Last year's hurricane season saw devastating storms that cost hundreds of billions of dollars in Texas, Florida, Louisiana. In southern Florida, Hurricane Irma left millions of homes without power, with some still in the dark 11 days after the storm. Remember that? Well, the region's largest utility, Florida Power and Light, wants to keep the lights on during and after future storms and is proposing putting more power lines underground, what's called undergrounding. Member station WLRN investigated the utility's push for undergrounding and whether this is an adequate solution to protect the power grid. We have two reports. First, we hear from Alex Gonzalez.
Hurricane Irma first made landfall last September on the Florida Keys. The Category 4 storm barreled through the area with heavy rains and a lot of wind. The rest of South Florida got a weakened Irma, but still left a lot of people hot and in the dark.
We were out of power. We were like the last to get power. We were out for like almost a week.
Talisha Charles lives in Oakland Park, a city just north of Fort Lauderdale where most of the power lines are above ground. A lot of Floridians felt like she did, that it took too long for the power to come back on.
It was terrible.
Some communities are trying to avoid a similar fate when the next storm comes by burying their power lines. After the 2005 double hitter of Hurricanes Katrina and Wilma, Florida Power and Light invested nearly $3 billion to harden its grid, including strengthening more above-ground poles and putting more power lines underground. Undergrounding prevents the lines from getting knocked down by rogue trees or wind. 40% of FPL's lines are now underground. Brian Olnick of FPL says undergrounding makes a big difference.
And during Hurricane Irma, they were approximately 80% there.
Burying all that wire is a big job. Alex Varela is a contractor in Miami Springs. FPL hired him to do the digging for Buzz Fleischman's home in May.
It's got to go 2 feet down. So what happens with the 2 feet down is, you know, you'll run into stuff or you just have mounds of dirt.
That stuff could be sandy soil, coral rock, or limestone. Varela then digs a trench for the PVC pipe that contains the wires.
You got to lay them down specific where they're easy to pull through. Make sure there's no rocks or dirt inside the pipe, so all that's part of the process.
Fleischman had FPL put underground power lines at his house first because of a home improvement project.
We have always wanted to, but the impetus was putting a pool in the backyard.
And then there was Irma. The storm took down a tree, and Fleischman and his wife lost power for a couple of days. They had a generator, but now they're banking on a longer-term solution.
Because power goes out occasionally with FPL when there's a slight rainstorm. This is just what the power grid's like in South Florida.
FPL just launched a 3-year pilot program to put power lines underground in more neighborhoods. The company's going door-to-door to ask for permission. The cost would be covered by ratepayers. But undergrounding can cost anywhere between $500,000 to more than $4 million per mile, depending on the neighborhood. Miami-Dade Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava wants to have her county's power lines put underground. She believes spread out over time, it's affordable.
It's an investment in the short term to benefit all of us in the long term.
But cost aside, even FPL admits that undergrounding won't always keep the lights on, especially during a hurricane.
We're going to do them all over the state, because customers are different everywhere. And
at a Public Service Commission meeting this spring, FPL's Brian Olnick answered questions, including this one from Commissioner Julie Brown.
Are you saying that undergrounding is the elixir for all of the problems?
No. I wish it was the magic elixir.
Olnick concedes that, despite the utility's push, underground power lines aren't a guarantee for protecting Florida's power grid. For Here and Now, I'm Alex Gonzalez.
And I'm Katie Switalski. Newer neighborhoods in South Florida already come built with underground power lines. They're more reliable for everyday electricity service, and they're part of the building codes. But older areas across the region are trying to catch up. Unless, that is, flooding and rising seas beat them to it. Sunrise Key is an island, and one of several neighborhoods in Fort Lauderdale that have approached the city and Florida Power and Light about the possibility of burying their power lines. Ed Smoker lives there, and he thinks it's better than the alternative.
Versus getting a generator, permitting a generator, fueling a generator, maintaining a generator, yes, it's far superior, I believe.
Putting power lines underground may be more convenient than a generator, but it is also more expensive. Even at the maximum of $4 million per mile, the buried power lines aren't completely protected from the forces of nature, like hurricanes. Here's FPL's Brian Olnick.
One of the things that we learned even during Irma is large trees can literally rip up everything underground.
The effect of trees on underground lines was surprising. because Hurricane Irma was mostly a windstorm in South Florida, the kind where branches are more likely to fall on overhead power lines. Had Irma been a water storm with a lot of storm surge and flooding, having power lines underground would have been more complicated.
Electricity and water don't mix.
Bill Orlove is also with FPL.
It will be longer for us to restore power in that kind of situation.
Underground power lines run inside PVC pipes. They're made to be watertight, but during storms that bring lots of flooding, they are more vulnerable. Now factor in sea level rise due to climate change.
This isn't some intangible, long into the future threat. This is something that's happening now.
Julie McNamara is an energy analyst with the Union of Concerned Scientists. A few years ago, she co-authored a report looking at the impact of sea level rise on hurricane flooding.
Infrastructure, an undergrounded line that's built based on today's assumptions, and which unfortunately many of today's assumptions are based on past experiences, which are not representative of climate impacts, those will not last their expected lifetime.
Recent projections from the region's Climate Alliance show seas could rise to just over 2 feet here in South Florida over the next 40 years. McNamara says getting the electrical system up to speed can mean expensive upgrades.
You want to be building it right, building it smart, building it once.
FPL is making some progress. Brian Olnick says the utility is already using tools like flood monitors to keep track of existing water. And in some parts of South Florida, like downtown Miami, FPL is experimenting with newer technology.
A lot of our undergrounding equipment that we have, we've been replacing with submersible kind of equipment.
Called subaqueous power lines, designed to work not just underground, but also underwater. But these power lines are more expensive than regular underground power lines and are currently being tested and are not yet available to neighborhoods. Julie McNamara says these advances won't make the challenges that come with severe storms and rising seas any better.
As much as we can try to improve the resilience of the grid, the lights will still go out.
In other words, South Florida can't just bury its vulnerabilities. For Here and Now, I'm Katie Switalski.